Hello, Hawk fans, and welcome to a special edition of Tales from 54th and City. My name is Joe Greenwich, and I will be joined today by a pair of soon-to-be Hall of Famers as we highlight the eight outstanding women that will be inducted into the St. Joseph's Athletic Hall of Fame on October 15th. Joining us later on will be 2010 graduate Jenna Martino DeFiti, a two-time first-team All-Atlantic 10 selection, an All-Region honoree, and one of the greatest women's lacrosse players in Hawk history. Our first guest, however, earned her accolades on the tennis courts, collecting a then-school record 66 singles victories in her career, while becoming the first Hawk to earn three Atlantic 10 All-Conference honors in women's tennis. From the class of 2014, it's Casey Robinson. Casey, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me, Joe.
And I know it's a little bit of a dreary day when we're recording, but thanks for hopping on this morning and taking the time to be here.
Very dreary, but I'm happy to be here and speak with you today.
First of all, congratulations on your upcoming induction into the St. Joseph's Athletic Hall of Fame. How exciting was it to get that news?
Thank you, first of all. It was shocking to me. So I've definitely had an interesting year. So moments before I got the email, I had also received another email from my high school and was also inducted in their Wall of Fame as well.
Oh, wow.
So it's been definitely been an interesting month. So I'm taking it all in, but honestly, I'm very grateful and still, it's very special to me. St. Joe's has been such an amazing time and always good to look back on.
That's about as good as it can get when it comes to Hall of Fames, right?
I mean, yeah, it's definitely a memorable year. So
you said you found out via email. Do you think at that point someone's pranking you, like back-to-back emails with what's next, the National Tennis Hall of Fame?
Yeah, well, that's why I was like, wait, this can't exactly be real. Like, what does this actually mean? Like, this must be... there must be a mistake in like Gmail or like the system or something, because it was almost back to back. So I was a little confused, and then the coach emailed me and I was like, oh, okay.
So was it Coach Ian that you heard from?
Yes, I did hear from Coach Ian, and I was super excited to hear from him. And I think he's very excited that a woman tennis player is being inducted as well. So I'm very happy.
We'll just jump right into your tennis then, since you brought up tennis. What was the first thing that you can remember way back as a young player that got you into tennis? We've talked to a number of your fellow inductees, and whenever we talk to student athletes, we often find that throughout their lives, they played a bunch of sports, and it was often later that they settled into the one that they ended up playing in college. Was it the same for you, or was it, 4 years old, tennis racket, in love for life?
Well, that makes me feel so much better that you said that, because I actually also too started later. I started maybe around 10 years old and started playing competitively at 13. So for tennis, that's actually pretty late in the game. When I was younger, my parents had thrown me into basketball, into ballet, into like all of the above, any kind of sport you can imagine. And tennis was one that really stuck out to me and one that I really enjoyed. And around 13 years old, I started taking that up competitively and playing tournaments in the area.
What was the thing that stuck out to you about tennis that made you enjoy that one? Was it the individual element? Was it anything else? I feel like tennis is probably the most grueling sport that one can play. So I can think of a lot of reasons why not to enjoy it. What was it that grabbed you and set you on your path?
I think, honestly, I loved hitting the ball. I loved playing different opponents. And it wasn't really just about who you were playing. It was also about you, yourself. You were playing yourself most of the time. So I loved the individual aspect of the sport, but I also loved playing other people, and everyone has their own unique talents within the game. So I thought that was really fun as well.
So when the time came to make the decision to play competitively in college and where to play, what was it that made St. Joe's your choice?
So I'm from the area, obviously. I'm from Villanova. My dad actually went to St. Joe's and graduated in 85. And his parents actually live, so my grandparents lived very close to the school and became very friendly with a lot of professors way back in the day. But St. Joe's has always been a special place to us, to my family. And it's definitely, it's been a school that's been around all my life. And it honestly meant so much to play for St. Joe's and be a part of the team at St. Joe's. So it was really exciting for me.
And we mentioned Coach Ian Crookenden, the head women's coach at St. Joe's. I've had him on a podcast interview before, and he's talked about his career, and he's always been able to, you know, I can ask him a question and 15 minutes later, he's still telling a riveting story. You know, we all know who he played with throughout his career. So now it's your turn to tell a story. Do you have a favorite memory or a story? Maybe it doesn't have to do necessarily with tennis even, but when you think back of your time on Hawk Hill, is there a memory that sticks out as maybe one of your favorites? And I will give the caveat, I give everyone one that you're comfortable sharing, one that you can share. You know, maybe you don't necessarily have to change the names to protect the innocent.
It's hard for me to pinpoint like one exact story. I had so much fun at St. Joe's, on and off the court. I was really close to my teammates, and how can you not be, because you spend so much time together. So I think like one aspect I'd take away, just memory wise, is just traveling with our teammates. And it honestly, it was such a great group of girls. And, you know, Coach Ian was such an amazing tennis coach, and he carried a lot of experience, and we've honestly all learned so much from him. Through the years. And I just think being a part of such a great team and great group of girls was really, really one of my favorite memories.
Now, I just want to clarify that when I talked about him telling a lengthy story, I loved every second of it.
Yeah.
Hearing about his career, I want to be clear. So when I did have that interview with him, one of the things he talked about was the teaching element of coaching. Is that a different sort of approach than any coach maybe you've had before? Was there something about him that made him so great to play for that helped you learn so much?
I think because he has been through, I mean, he's been through it all, from playing the pros, playing collegiate. I think just his experience with players and coaching different levels really helped. And I think he had such a great positive approach to coaching. I just remember, you know, even being down a set or down, you know, in a tiebreaker, he always brought this calm element, to the table, which made you feel better and, kind of settled just the anxiety and the pressure within moments. I think it was really what made him a great coach.
When you're talking about, you know, a tough spot in a match there, is there a challenge that you can think of? Maybe it was a specific match. Maybe it was something you went through off the court that you had to overcome during your time on Hawk Hill. And we talk about, you know, making a Hall of Fame, and that's with all the wonderful achievements and accomplishments, but there's always something that you face some adversity along the way that really kind of, when you get through it on the other side, you know that you're better off for it. And a lot of times that's kind of what spurs an outstanding career. Is there something that you faced during your college career? And again, maybe it was on the court, maybe it wasn't, that, you know, you can look back on and say, I'm better off for that.
Yeah. So I think for me, I don't think anyone really talks about how hard it is being a student athlete. I think balancing, you know, a very high academic level alongside, you know, a very high, you know, Division I sports team, I feel like it's a very hard balance to get adjusted to if you're not used to it. For me, I went to Herodin High School in ninth grade. And then in 10th grade, I was homeschooled to try and get better at tennis because I started a bit later. So walking into college, going back to classes was definitely a little bit difficult. Like it was a little hard for me to just get readjusted to that. Because when I was homeschooled, I kind of made my time, you know, I fit my schedule in the way that I did, but it really taught me a lot. It taught me how to balance my time. It also taught me just to give it your all in everything that you do, whether it be on the court or in the books or outside, just being hanging out with friends, giving time and attention to your friends. It taught me a lot of balance. So that's something I definitely carry with me today.
Talking about trying to find that balance between, you know, a lot of times when you graduate, we talk about work-life balance, but there's a school sport balance. Mm-hmm. What do you think was the most important thing in finding that? Because that is an important thing that maybe, you know, everyone says, well, you know, I got to find time for school, you know, with my sport or whatever, but you don't often hear about how they go about that. I know there's resources at the disposal of the student athletes mm-hmm. on campus, but what was it that you think was the best thing for you to, especially to try to readjust to a somewhat more conventional school schedule again?
I have to say the professors that I had were so amazing in that they not only supported my academics within school, but they also supported being a student athlete, and they allowed me to go and not only play for St. Joe's, but play other tournaments outside the school. And they were very supportive of just my dreams and my goals. I think that was really, really helpful to me. So I think if I didn't have that, I think it would have definitely been a struggle. but I was very, very, very grateful for all the professors that I had.
Well, one last question I'll ask, and if you don't mind getting a little reflective,
yes,
you look back at your athletic career, your time at St. Joe's. It wasn't all that long ago that you were here, but you moving on into your postgraduate life, is there a lesson that you've taken that, and maybe you don't think of it every day, maybe you do think of it every day, but is there something that you look at as something that would you say would be your biggest lesson, or maybe it's a mantra, maybe it's an approach, maybe it's something you learned from Coach Ian. What would you say would be the biggest lesson you've taken from your career?
I think my biggest lesson would be how to face adversity, not just competitively, but even outside a competitive norm, you know, whether it be at work, whether it be at home, whether it be, you know, just in your standard everyday life. I think, you know, being a student athlete again, like I said earlier, was definitely something that was difficult for me after being homeschooled for 3 years prior to. So how to face adversity, your approach to adversity, how to overcome it. Like, are you going to succumb to pressures, to things that are tough? I think it's really how we look at life and what is really brought to us, how we overcome them. So I think how we overcome adversity is definitely something that I've taken with me just throughout my entire career.
Well, Casey, congratulations once again on both of your pending inductions and any that may crop up in the next few days as well.
Oh my goodness. Well, thank you so much for having me. This is honestly, truly an honor.
Well, thank you for taking the time to join us, and we'll see you at Hagen Arena on October 15th.
Sounds great. See you soon.
That was Casey Robinson from the Women's Tennis Program, one of this year's 8 inductees into the St. Joseph's Athletic Hall of Fame. We'll be right back. Today's show is brought to you by Mainline Health. 4 suburban hospitals, 4 top regional rankings, and a proud sponsor of the St. Joseph's Hawks. For award-winning human care, visit mainlinehealth.org. The Kettle Club Podcast Network is brought to you by Rothman Orthopedics. Rothman Orthopedics, the official team physicians of your St. Joseph's Hawks, provides the region with unmatched orthopedic care. For more information or to schedule an appointment, visit www.rothmanortho.com. For orthopedic excellence, think Rothman first. And also by Univest. Handle all your banking remotely with the Univest mobile platform. Easy, convenient, and secure, because life needs a little more wow. Live life, stay connected with Univest. Univest Bank and Trust Company, member FDIC. We're back here on Tales from 54th and City. Our next guest from the class of 2010, women's lacrosse standout, Jenna Martino Defiti. Jenna, thanks for being with us today.
No problem. Happy to be here.
First of all, congratulations on being chosen as one of the inductees for the St. Joseph's Athletic Hall of Fame. Is that a pretty exciting honor to receive for you?
Yes, of course. It's awesome. I was so excited to hear when I found out the news. I'm just really grateful.
How did you find out? Did you get a phone call? Someone sent you an email?
Yeah, actually, the current head coach, Alex Cahoe, reached out to me via text just and said, hey, you know, let's connect via phone. I got the message and we started playing phone tag because I had just had a baby actually about 3 weeks prior to that. So I had a 3 week old at home and she had reached out that she wanted to talk on the phone. And I said, okay, I'll call you, you know, the whole phone tag thing. And eventually she had to end up sending me a text message. Well, I'm sorry we can't connect, but I really just want to let you know the exciting news. You know, when I read the text, I was ecstatic. And then I finally was able to get her on the phone. I called her and we were able to catch up and talk about it and the current team and all of that. So it was really exciting to hear from her. It was just a crazy time having a 3 week old hearing about the news. So it was just really cool.
Can imagine that there's a whole lot of emotions there that combine. A pretty interesting month for you, huh?
yeah, it's an exciting month.
Having talked to a number of the other inductees, it's funny that the stories are basically the same. Almost nobody was able to connect right away. They would get a text, and then it'd be like, all right, call me back. And it's like, well, I wonder what this is about. You know, they get the email and they don't see it for a day. So it's kind of funny how that works out. It's got to be, you know, I don't want to say surreal, but maybe a surreal sort of thing to read a text message. It's like, wait, I what?
Yeah, I know. I was so surprised when I saw it because, you know, I wasn't sure what going to be talked about. And I, you know, we've talked before in the past and I thought maybe, you know, I had actually sent her an email congratulating the team on this past season. They had an amazing season this past year. And so we've talked, you know, kept in touch a little bit about the current team and, you know, I always wish them well and things like that. So, and I tried to be involved as an alumni and things like that. And so, you know, I thought maybe it was just about that stuff. But then when she told me the news, I was really excited.
This year's induction is also part of the Hawks celebration of the 50th anniversary of Title IX. What did it mean to you to be a part of that? And were you cognizant of the effect of Title IX when you were playing in college?
Yeah, I think it's super awesome. Like I just at the time, you know, playing growing up and then in college, I knew about Title IX and I knew what it was, but I don't know if I fully grasped the concept of it at the time. And like not even the concept, but fully grasped, you know, how much it really affected, you know, me potentially. And really looking back on it, it affected the whole trajectory of my life. Because I think St. Joe's didn't get lacrosse until I think the 90s. And so, you know, prior to that, there wasn't lacrosse. And, you know, I think Title IX came about in the 70s. And finally, later down the line, they got women's lacrosse. And if it wasn't for St. Joe's getting, you know, women's lacrosse, I wouldn't have been playing lacrosse there. And then I wouldn't have gone and done all the other things from there on in my life. And so just thinking back on how, you know, that could have affected my whole life. I ended up, you know, meeting my husband through lacrosse after I ended up, you know, in different places and in my business and what I do now. And just so many things have affected me being able to play there. And Title IX really, you know, probably helped start that. And on top of all of that, I am really excited that my daughter will be with me at the induction and will be able to, you know, enjoy that moment with me. And as far as Title IX, You know, it's super cool that she'll have hopefully even more opportunity than I ever did. You know, Title IX was a start in the right direction, and we're still trying to make progress every day in women's sports and equality. And to hopefully see her, you know, have even more than I had is going to be really exciting for me.
That's the goal as a parent, right? You want your kids to have it better than you did, and you want them to go even further than you were able to go, right?
Of course, of course.
Well, you talked about playing lacrosse in college. Obviously, you started at some point along the line. What was it that got you started playing lacrosse as the sport that you chose?
Yeah, I was like a multi-sport athlete growing up. I loved playing soccer and basketball. I played softball. I played, you know, all the sports I can kind of get my hands on growing up. And I didn't really discover lacrosse until high school. It wasn't that popular where I was growing up. And I played soccer in the fall, basketball in the winter. And in the spring, there wasn't another like kind of field or, you know, sport like team sport where I felt like I could run around on a field or a court or something like that. And the lacrosse coach at the school started recruiting all of us basketball and soccer players to play lacrosse in the spring. And so, you know, a bunch of me and my friends, we were all athletes that just like love to play those other sports. And we were convinced that lacrosse was going to be really fun and similar. And I'm so happy that we gave it a try, because funny enough, myself and a ton of other girls that ended up coming from other sports ended up sticking with lacrosse for, you know, excelled in high school, you know, picking it up quick and then going on to playing college. So that was really cool.
You mentioned coming to lacrosse pretty late. It's really funny how a lot of, we talked to some of our current student athletes, but talking to some of the other, you know, soon to be Hall of Famers, you guys had these outstanding careers in college. And yet the sport that you played in college is often one you came to very late. It's kind of coincidental. Like there's a lot of folks that play a lot of sports, or maybe they switch from one to another, but it's funny how the one that you came to last, and maybe it speaks to having the general athletic background and foundation before you started, but it's funny how the one you come to late is the one that you excelled at the most.
Yeah, it is. And you know, I think a big part of it too, I realized that, lacrosse isn't, maybe getting more so now, but isn't still like a mainstream type of sport where like everybody, you know, plays soccer and basketball. And then it's a little bit harder to get recruited and to excel in those sports. And I think growing up, I realized, you know, through high school, if I wanted to play in college, that I had a real good chance at lacrosse of going where I wanted to go, playing D1, getting a scholarship. And like, I think I really, not only did I love the sport, because I also started getting burnt out from those other sports from playing my whole life since I was little. I think lacrosse was new and fun. And like you said, I already had the athletic background that, that you need to play the sport. So the skill part of it was, you know, really what the most of the stuff that you had to learn. And, it was just really, it just took me on a ride, and I'm excited that I ended up getting to play at St. Joe's.
Well, what was it that brought you to St. Joe's first and foremost when you were being recruited? What was it about Hawk Hill and the prospect of playing lacrosse at St. Joe's that stuck out to you?
Yeah, I mean, a few different things. You know, when I was looking to play in college, and I was, you know, going to these different summer tournaments and trying to get recruited. And I had, you know, multiple different kind of schools that I went on official visits to and different things. And at St. Joe's, a few things non-lacrosse wise that I loved was just the city of Philadelphia. I loved like being in near a city. I loved just the fact that I'm from New Jersey and it was only 2 hours from home. I got to be away from home a little bit, but not too far away from home. And the area and the campus and everything was great. And then as far as the team goes, you know, Denise Rosser was the coach at the time, and she heavily recruited me. And when I went to visit, I had a great overnight visit with the team and the girls, and just felt like really comfortable with them. And it felt like a really good fit. And, you know, some of the other schools, it's kind of funny that I was being recruited by, I think they made it clear to me at the time that I wasn't necessarily at the top of their list as far as a recruit. And Denise made it clear to me that I was, you know, one of their top recruits, and it was, you know, nice to hear. And then funny enough, I go to St. Joe's and we end up playing against a lot of those other schools that, you know, kind of wrote me off a little bit at the time. And so getting to play against those teams and those coaches after they kind of, you know, put me to the side a little bit, it was fun for me to get some redemption playing and scoring some goals against those teams that told me they didn't want me.
So is that a little extra motivation that helped spur some of those record-breaking goal numbers?
Maybe. Yeah, I've definitely always been a player that is motivated by a few different things, but passion's one of them. And, you know, it's and revenge a little bit and kind of redemption and things like that. And, you know, let me show you kind of thing.
One of the things we've been asking the Hall of Famers is if they'll share a favorite memory or a story from their time at St. Joe's, with the caveat, something that you're willing to share that you can share with a public audience. But when you think back to that time, what's, you know, one favorite memory that stands out to you?
Let me think. Well, you know, lacrosse wise, I think the most obvious for me that comes to mind is my junior year. It was our 2009 year when we got the farthest we had ever got in program history. We got to our Atlantic 10 conference championship. We ended up losing the game in like double overtime or something, but it was that year was like our best year that we've ever had. I remember going on an away trip to, like, we had a 2-game weekend, a Friday and a Sunday. We played up at Duquesne and St. Bonaventure, I believe, and came back winning both of those games. And I remember our bus ride home, pulling back into the school, like something just felt different that year. I don't think we had ever gone on that trip and beat those two teams back to back. And it just, the trajectory led us to beating Richmond in our semifinal game, which was like probably the biggest win of, you know, all of our careers. And then going on to that final A-10 championship that, you know, it was heartbreaking loss because we ended up losing. But that year was just like the best year. We had an amazing team, great team culture, and it was just really fun. And to top it off, this past year, St. Joe's just won for the first time. They got redemption against UMass, who we lost to that year. They just beat UMass in the A-10 championship this past year, which was so exciting for me to see. I was like, yes, finally we got redemption.
I was going to ask you, did you feel a little bit of a connection following that team, watching that game? Maybe not personal redemption, but it sounds like maybe so. But there was definitely a feeling of connection for you there?
For sure. I mean, every year, you know, since then I've been watching, and, you know, Alex has taken the program and you know, the last couple of years they've done really well. And every year every year since I graduated, I've been rooting for them. And just to see them finally come out on top was huge. It was really exciting.
So you talked about the 2009 championship game as kind of like a heartbreaking moment. You also talked about that road trip to Duquesne and St. Bonaventure, which is pretty challenging. It's a long bus ride between those two, and it's a long bus ride to either one of those. But we've been talking to folks about different challenges they've had, and you know, some of the answers have varied. Maybe it was a personal thing off the field, or maybe it was just something that happened with the team. You know, maybe it's a losing streak or just a tough stretch of games you have to get through. Was there a challenge that you personally felt like you had to overcome during your time on Hawk Hill? Something that, you know, when it was over, you looked back and said, you know, I'm better off for having gone through this experience?
Yeah, you know, playing sports, of course, comes with its ups and downs. There's always challenges, and I think that's part of what makes sports, you know, playing sports so great, is that it really just comes with a lot of life lessons and teaches you a lot. For me, I think probably one of the biggest challenges was my senior year, because coming off of such a high my junior year, and we had such an awesome, you know, year, our team and different things. And then coming into our senior year, we ended up not having such a great season. And it was hard for me personally, because I also was hurt that year. I think I probably ran my body into the ground a little bit by that time. And, you know, I had some issues going on with my shins and, just different things throughout the year. I was just hurt a lot. And it was tough because I felt like I couldn't perform the way I used to. So the injury really held me back. And I felt like a responsibility. I put a lot of that on myself, that, you know, our team wasn't winning games that I thought that, you know, as a team we should have won, or different things like that. And me as a player, you know, I wasn't, I liked scoring goals because I felt like it was my responsibility to the team. Like it wasn't about getting accolades or getting noticed or whatever. I just felt like if that I was doing my job, like that this is my role on the team, that not only I want to be a leader and a captain and kind of lead the team, but part of my responsibility is trying to put the ball in the net. And when I felt like I couldn't do that, I felt like I was letting my team down. And so that was really hard and that was really challenging for me. But I think coming out of it and looking back on it, I really realized that, you know, if something gets taken away from you, you can always find a new door, find a new thing that, you know, helps the team in a different way. You know, you're not, I'm not just valuable for one thing. I can be valuable in other ways. And I wish I realized that more at the time, you know, but I think it, looking back on it, like I said, I think you learn from things as you get older and looking back on that journey and realizing now that I'll take that with me in other things that I do in the future and the girls that I coach or in things that I do in my personal life, just realizing that if something gets taken away, whether because of injury or from whatever the case may be in life, that, you know, there's always a new way that you can be valuable to any situation.
Well, that's kind of a perfect segue. The last thing we've been asking is for our guests to look back at their athletic career and share a lesson that they've taken into their post-grad life. And it sounds like your lesson is to, like you said, look for that other door.
Yeah, I think that's definitely one of them. And then I think just in general, you know, everybody probably says this, but as I said before, sports just teaches you so much, you know, leadership, teamwork, communication, you know, time management, confidence. Like, I know growing up, I was a pretty shy kid, but sports always helped me get out of my shell and build confidence and really helped me in life in all sorts of ways. I know at St. Joe's, I not only played lacrosse, but I got a marketing degree. And funny enough, now in my job, what I have a Miami Soul is my club program that I own. And I also have a business called Lax in the 305, an Instagram account that I was able to start and now have over 22,000 followers. And a big part of that was combining things I've learned, not only from lacrosse, but from my marketing background at St. Joe's. And so being able to combine things that I've learned in the past, you know, from multiple different ways has been great. Being able to take that with me and now teaching the girls that I coach. And one of my favorite things is just teaching them that not only teaching them the skills of lacrosse, but teaching them, you know, how much sports and team sports can really teach you about life. And I love just, you know, bringing that through to the girls since I learned so much from it.
Well, Jenna, thank you so much for being here. Congratulations on your Hall of Fame honor. And all the success to you with your club program as well. And we can't wait to see you here for the induction next week.
Awesome. Thank you so much. I can't wait.
That was Jenna Martino Defiti from the class of 2010, St. Joseph's Women's Lacrosse standout and soon to be St. Joseph's Athletic Hall of Famer. Our thanks to her for calling in and to Casey Robinson. And our thanks to you for listening. We'll see you next time. Be sure to subscribe to the Kettle Club Podcast Network on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or the TuneIn app. You can also find us at sguhawks.com/podcasts.